That's great, thanks.
So as I mentioned earlier on, we're going to look at a passage in Genesis. It's Genesis 39. So if you'd like to grab a Bible. And if you have one of the red Bibles from the church here, it's page 43. Just by way of background, the story is about a man called Joseph, familiar to some of you maybe. Quite a famous character for those non-church-going folk from a musical. Joseph and his amazing multicoloured overcoat. So that's that guy, for those of you who don't know. By way of background, Joseph was... had many brothers, and he wasn't very much liked by them, mainly because he was quite arrogant in his youth. And in particular, he had a couple of dreams when he was a young man, and those dreams were interpreted by his brothers, probably correctly, as meaning that Joseph one day would become their ruler and they would bow down to him. And their reaction to that was one of immense anger and jealousy, and at the back of that, they threw him into a pit. Then sold him as a slave. So Joseph ended up working as a slave in a house owned by a man called Potiphar. And Potiphar was a local ruler in Egypt. And Potiphar, we meet Joseph now in Genesis, where he has been working in Potiphar's house and has been promoted due to sort of good, honourable behaviour and probably a man of... being a man of many talents, yeah, he was promoted to the head of Potiphar's house. So he was basically in charge of everything. And Potiphar trusted him so much that he allowed Joseph just run the house, and Potiphar went off probably playing golf, or the golf of the time, whatever that was. So he really trusted this man. So that's where we meet him. We'll see, though, during this passage that Joseph is really faced with a dilemma, a serious, serious dilemma. And he is a man that we can judge now, a man that acted under pressure. And it's just interesting to see what his reaction was under that pressure. So let's read the passage together. I'm going to ask the best reader-outer I know. She's very good, eh?
Oh no, can't slag
Maria.
Me. Just the one.
Just the whole book of Genesis. So it's chapter 39.
Okay. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favour in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything that he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her, or to even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew who's been brought in to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him the story. That Hebrew slave that you brought home came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did.
Thanks. Key the theme song to EastEnders. So it's quite a dramatic story, one full of twists and tales, and as we see there's a massive moral dilemma for Joseph. A man has been put in charge of Potiphar's house, a man is trusted by Potiphar, and is faced then with the dilemma of being forced to sleep with Potiphar's wife. And we see his reaction and we see his response. A massive dilemma for Joseph, and I would imagine one that was particularly a lose-lose situation. If he'd said yes to Potiphar's wife, he was going to be in trouble one way or the other. And as we see, he said no, and he ended up in prison. So a lose-lose situation. And we'll see later on that, you know, he's a man that... Sorry, this is when we read on later on in the further chapters that Joseph is a man that continues to show this type of character, but yet is a man that's always blessed by the Lord. And for those who don't know the story, Joseph goes on to interpret a dream on behalf of Pharaoh. And because he interpreted the dream correctly, Pharaoh promoted him to the ruler of Egypt, and he oversaw 7 years of feast for Israel and then 7 years of famine for Egypt. So we see that he's a man that's been continually blessed throughout his life. But we're focusing in today on him as a character with his decision-making under pressure. But it's worth noting that just in the back of your mind, that what happened after this story. So to say, it's a lose-lose situation for Joseph. But the question I have, the first question I have for you tonight is, what is required in such a situation? What is required of Joseph at that time? What characteristic does Joseph need to display at that moment when he is faced with that dilemma? In our small group during the week, we considered that question, and the most obvious answer and the one that was most common to that question was the word integrity. Joseph was a man who showed integrity under pressure. A serious moral dilemma, but still held firm to what he believed. But for me, that's the easy teaching. It's the easy teaching is to focus on the behavior. And it's quite easy then for us to start compiling a list of rules that we need to adhere to in order for us to show integrity. But the more difficult question to tease out, and that's what I'd like to try and do tonight, is a question, what is our motivation for integrity? Why would we be somebody who tries to strive to live a life full of integrity? What is my motivation to be a man of integrity? Is it so that we can have a safe life? One without any worry because we're always the people that do the right thing? Quite clearly the answer is no, because Joseph ended up in prison. He did the right thing. Is it because I would like to be somebody who's obedient to the law, as in our justice system or God's law, or both? And the answer there is probably perhaps. But if we look later on at Joseph's reaction to Pharaoh in chapter 41, I would suggest that it's not just an obedience to law that is his motivation for his integrity. Joseph spent 2.5 years in prison, or thereabouts, at least 2 years anyway, we can see from the passage. And in that 2 years in prison, he was promoted to the head man in the prison, like he was promoted to the head man in Potiphar's house. So remember, he's in prison for something he hasn't done. And I don't care who you are, if you're in prison for something you haven't done, it's not a nice place to be. For 2 years or 2.5 years. But after 2.5 years, when he's called before Pharaoh and he's asked to interpret Pharaoh's dream, and Pharaoh says to him, I hear you're the man who can interpret my dream. His response is not to look to himself and his own ability to do that. But first and foremost, he points to God and says, I can't, but God will. For a man who's been in prison for 2.5 years for something that he hasn't done, to react in such a way is somebody who doesn't just obey the law. Because that is something that is not of substance. If I obey the law, I'm just guessing now, but if I was to obey the law, end up in prison for 2.5 years for something I don't do, I would be justified in probably not adhering to God's law during that time. Just purely out of frustration. So, again, the question is, what is our motivation for integrity? And I would say for Joseph, it's something deeper than just an observation and obedience of the law. It has to be something deeper for him to have that reaction 2.5 years later on, where he is still faithful and he is still pointing to God, notwithstanding he's found himself in prison for 2.5 years for something he hasn't done. I would suggest to you tonight that his motivation for his integrity is a reaction to God's grace. I would suggest that Joseph is a man with a deep understanding of God's unconditional love. He is a man who has a relationship with his Creator, so much so that he understands him as his father who loves him regardless. When I read this passage, I look at myself and I have deep regrets about things that I have done in my life because I'm not a man like Joseph. But I can, in the process, begin to be like that. But I deeply, deeply believe that Joseph's motivation for his integrity is not just one of a person who's trying to lead a good life. It's something much more than that. And that's what's interesting me, is how can I be a man like that? I deeply believe that Joseph is a man who fully accepts God's love. He is a man who knows God as his father. He knows that he cannot earn God's love. But equally, he can't lose God's love. And he can stand there before his Creator and say, I am a child of God. And it's that deep sense somewhere inside of him that allows him to have a reaction 2.5 years later of being in prison unjustly to point to God when asked to interpret a dream. It's that faithfulness to God, because 2.5 years in a prison is a long time. So Joseph is that man then, with a relationship fully accepting God's love and an understanding to know that he cannot lose it and he cannot earn it. God just loves him. So therefore, when he's faced with a moral dilemma about what is right and what is wrong, his natural reaction is to take the right decision, regardless of the outcome. Because his response is, how could I do such a wicked thing before God? While he had a righteous reaction to being obedient towards Potiphar, because all Potiphar had done to him, that ultimately wasn't what he was saying in his response to Potiphar's wife. He said to Potiphar's wife, how could I do such a wicked thing against Potiphar, but more importantly, a sin against God? So that is deeply, deeply offending to Joseph, because Joseph is a man who knows his father as his father, who loves him unconditionally. So for me, the motivation in reading this story is not this idea of trying to create this set of rules and we all try and be like Joseph because we're doing the right thing and we make the right moral decisions. It's not. It's deeper than that, and it's a question behind a question. The question is, what is your motivation for your integrity? The starting point has to be a relationship with God and an understanding of his love. But at the same time, when we read that story of Joseph, we can have a natural reaction and say, well, I'm not like that, and I've done plenty of bad things in my life. And therefore, we actually walk away from God's grace, when that's not what God's call is to us today, like it has been for eternity. It's to come into the center and to say that you are my child and I love you. So therefore, just as much as Joseph has done the right thing there, for any of us, including myself, who have done the wrong thing, we always have a chance to come back. We always have a chance to come back. There is always a way to redeem. But I completely believe that the only way that we can find that way back and understand how we can make or redeem a situation is to start to understand and appreciate how much God loves us. And I cannot emphasize that enough, because I've been in that journey. I deeply, deeply found out recently how much God loves me. Nothing to do with what I have done, or nothing to do with what I will do. He just loves me. And there's freedom in that. I've been a Christian for about 8 years and I've only realized it. He just loves me. And this now is my motivation for integrity going forward. Because how could I let God down? How could I let God down when he loves me so much? I haven't done anything to earn it, and I can't do anything to lose it. So how do I respond to that? I respond with a deep desire to live a life of integrity. As I said, I've made a few bad decisions, perhaps in the past, and I'm unsure as to how they'll pan out, but I do know in this process of trying to make amends for things, you know, there's certainly a process of just knowing that grace is a security, but also is a motivation to do the right thing. So I cannot encourage you enough in your walk with God to just grapple with this idea that he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. And that was Joseph. Joseph was in a pit, in a prison, for things he hadn't even done wrong. But at the end of it, he still pointed to God, because he knew God loved him. It is this realization of God's grace that allows us an internal security to deal with anything that's going on outside. So anything that we face, any external circumstances, we can battle and we can combat when we have the internal security of accepting God's love is unconditional. And we can see ourselves as God sees us, as Joseph did. Joseph could have easily said yes. Joseph could have easily succumbed to the pressure at that time, being pursued by Potiphar's wife. You and I are being pursued constantly with pressures of the world. Every day we are being consumed with pressures of the world. A moral decision, an ethical decision. Sometimes we don't even realize it, but they're just biting at our heels. So while Potiphar's example is quite a big drama, ours can be much more mundane, but they're there. So we need to have the awareness and the wisdom to first of all recognize that we're in a moral dilemma at a time. But then we need to call upon God's grace to make the right decision. But forgetting all that, because that comes down to behavior again, I need to encourage you more and more, I think, just to recognize that God loves you. That God loves you. And if we can accept that fully, these moral decisions are made in the right way, because that's our natural reaction, as opposed to learning a set of rules first and then reacting. If the starting point is accepting God's love for us, then the moral decisions become somewhat easier. And I use somewhat easier, not lightly there, because they're still tough. Joseph could have said yes. He could have easily said yes. He could have played the game. He could have tried to be, as I've often said, or been heard said in Ireland, is a great phrase, a cute hooer. He could have played both sides and got away with it. But he didn't. He stood firm, regardless of the circumstances. That is a man that I would aspire to be. I'm not at all. I don't want to be ever called a hypocrite, but I'm not, and I want to be, though. But he could have played the game. He didn't. He could have saved his position, tried to. He could have saved his status. He could have tried to. He could have tried to maintain his power, but he didn't. He forgo it all for the right thing. And that right thing was a reaction to God's grace in his life. God's unconditional love for him as a man, as a child of God. Joseph chose a different way. A different way that's not often chosen today. And that way was a way of integrity. The world is crying out for integrity. In the small things, as much as the big. In our lives, and the lives of the people we know around us. And it's an integrity, again, that is a reaction to the gracious love that comes from our Father. So if I could encourage you again tonight, is to get right with God, to understand his grace in your life, that unconditional love. You cannot go for it, you can't come away from it, it's there. And through that love and that relationship with him, the moral decisions such as faced, which Joseph faced, become somewhat easier. Maybe we can just take a moment just to really think about all that's been said tonight, including the Psalms and in the Bible passage there now. And really just encourage everyone just to react and engage, because I just know that God is near and God is one that heals and God is one that loves. So if we can, just maybe in a moment of silence, with hopefully no distractions, just really engage with all that you've considered tonight before your Father.